We're joined by our race winner, Ross Chastain, driver of the number 42 DC Solar Chevrolet. We're going to go ahead and open it up to questions for Ross. We'll start there with Holly and go to Jeff.
Over here to your left. Hey, Ross, congratulations. I wanted to ask you kind of about what this does for your playoffs to start in this manner. This is obviously the way you would want to go in, I would believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, our third and final race in the 42 is next week at Richmond, so this is bigger than playoffs. This is bigger than 1 year. This is I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to spin a story because I'm not. It's a kid from Florida, eighth generation farmer, that started hobby racing when I was 13 because my dad hobby raced when he was younger, and he was an adult, and I remember when I was very young, watching him a little bit. He would sneak me into the pits and stuff, and it was never supposed to be this, never, ever. So it's way bigger than just this year. It's something that if it all ended and I went back today, it's obviously worth it. But I knew when this opportunity came that it was worth it, that this was, this is what everybody works for. But it all backs up to 4 years ago, getting the Johnny Davis calling me in December, going into the 2015 season, to ask if I wanted to drive his four car and go through the West Coast swing, and then we'll see how we are. We'll run scuffed tires a lot, but I was like, yes, I want to do it. And got a lot of people that I trusted told me it was a bad idea. So all that, you know, coming to a point today, this is way bigger than a playoff, you know, push or another race at Richmond. To be fast, to get in a car that goes fast and do the job, that's what's fulfilling for me.
We go to Jeff, Bob, and then Dustin.
Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com. Ross, when you were dreaming of what could happen potentially, like the ceiling for you in racing, was it more just like, man, if I could ever make a living, that would be the peak? Or like, did you get this far as like, man, I could go out and win races? What were your like highest goals, I guess, at that time?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was never, I'm sure people say this, but it's never been about the money. And I get laughed at, honestly, from the inside the garage as far as drivers go. I'm not getting paid to drive this 42 car. That was part of the deal. There was no extra money to get paid. It's just, there was a chance to do this, and I wanted to, we'll make the rest work, if this works out. And the people that helped put this together, they didn't make any money either. We bet on ourselves. It's coincidence as it happened in Vegas, but, we literally bet on ourselves that we wouldn't make any money now, but it'll pay off. So, granted, when I was younger, you see these guys, you read in the paper, used to, when they would release the earnings, and I realize now they really weren't making that, you know. But still, it's the fame and the glory of it. When you're a kid, like at 13 years old, I'm like, oh man, I'd love to be, I really wanted to be like Matt Martin. Mark Martin's son was racing at my local short track, and his last race in that class, I ran the next race. It was a kid class, and I was like, I want to be like Matt. Didn't know what all it took to race, and we figured it out as we went. It's surreal now to be sitting up here, and the sky's the limit. And that's why we all keep working. That's why everybody in this room keeps coming to the racetrack, because we all want to keep progressing throughout our lives and our careers. But then again, we're all very fortunate to be here. I know I maybe touched on this at Darlington, but we are very fortunate. Everybody in this room, everybody at this racetrack that gets to come, and their job is to do something with race cars. And granted, we get the spotlights, right? But everybody in this room and everybody that's helped put this race on this weekend is doing what they love. I mean, we don't work in racing because we have to. We do it because we love it and we want to. So that's cool to be a part of this family, and to now, putting in 4 years in the four car, you get to know a lot of people out of the spotlight, and now to be in the spotlight and know everybody is really cool.
All right, we'll continue with questions. We'll go to Bob, Dustin, and then Justin.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. Back in 2014, when you ran only about 10 races, did you think your career was over?
Yeah, I did. I got fired after Martinsville and told to go back to the farm, told to quit racing by the owner and the crew chief, and that was tough. And I did go back to the farm and kind of rethought about everything and what I wanted to do, and just pieced it together. And really the next opportunity came with Viva Motorsports and Jamie Dick to run Charlotte and Daytona. And then that springboarded into Johnny Sauter was driving for Hattori and Shiggy, and he couldn't run some with the truck schedule, so Shiggy hired me to drive it. And that running that car then got me in front of Johnny Davis. I guess in the middle there was I ran Mark Smith's car, a fifth TriStar car at Homestead. We ran terrible, but we saved a set of tires at the end. We beat Johnny's cars, and Johnny, I don't know if he still knows this to this day, but we saved a set of tires, and he didn't. We beat his cars because of that, and he called me there after the race a couple weeks later and said, "Man, you outran my cars and Mark's car. That they hadn't been doing that. You know, do you want to come drive my car?" So. Yeah, by the end of the year, I felt good. But, man, that middle part of 2014 was tough. You hear that from people you respect and you're trying to have a working racing relationship with, and to get told that was tough. But it made me stronger because I didn't listen to them against what they said. So it was tough times for sure. I'm not saying, but
we're going to go to Justin, and then Jerry.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple things. One, I just want to ask you: are you shocked, or you expected this to win?
I mean, I expected it, but I expected to win in the four car a long time ago. I expected to win in the truck last night. Like, I expect to outperform, and then. Granted, a lot of times it's like, okay, if this and this happens. Now, this opportunity, I knew if we just went out, let all the laps qualify on the pole, we'd be good. We all know what happened at Darlington. We come here. I knew we were good yesterday. So I went to bed last night, slept. I got to bed late, but I slept really well because I knew how good the car was. But then after qualifying, it looked like the whole 42 group was like walking around with their heads down because we were fifth. And somebody said, "Man, that's a good feeling, isn't it?" And I was like, "You know what? You are right." Like, I expected it after what I felt in practice yesterday, but I also expected it at Darlington, so I knew that it could get taken away from us. Just like I obviously am biased, but I feel like it got taken away from us at Darlington.
Garrett Smithley said that this win provides hope for all the guys that work and bust their tail and don't have the opportunities, and you've gone through that. So for him and others, you're an inspiration. So who was your inspiration when you're running with these other teams, knocking your head against the wall, trying to get an opportunity when I'm sure there were a lot of nights you probably didn't think it was going to happen? Was there anything like that, or how did you get through those times?
Yeah, I mean, my inspiration for racing was my dad, to go all the way back to the beginning. And my memories of him racing, he was the greatest. Like he didn't win all the races, but in my mind, he always did. And like, I still, when I think back in his office, he has some pictures and some little diecasts. And I remember playing with those diecasts, and they had diecasts of other trucks, but the 13 truck was his number. It always won when I ran the diecast. So in my mind, it was always winning. So, and my first number was number 13, you know, the unlucky green 13. I think we had Mr. Peanut on there and John Deere green and yellow stuff. So we went against all the bad, you know, whatever mojo against it. But no, in NASCAR, I felt like I could do it a different way. Since I've been in the sport and 10 years plus back beyond that, you showed up, you raised the money, you got the ride. And this truly was different. This was Jeff and Paulette Karpoff wanting to give an opportunity. And I think there was a list of drivers that they looked at as they were looking at these couple of races, and they scratched off all the names and mine was left, I guess. You know, there was really no looking at anybody else. It was just that if I could do it my own way, in a different way. Obviously this is the ideal storybook way to win in the sponsor's race, in their car, you know, and so... There was nobody else so that I looked at that has walked down the path that I've walked down or driven down. I don't think there's. I'm not saying my way is the right way because it took a long time to get here. I've walked out of this my first time here in 2012. We start and parked. Think about that. I walked out of here after running a couple of laps and watched the rest of the race. So that's not the ideal way. I don't recommend that because it's tough and it's very trying. And I've had a lot of my family back in the 2014 days and before that were a lot of phone calls late at night. They would just call me and just, look, I know it's tough. It's going to get better. We didn't know it was going to get better, but they kept telling me that. So, I look back at that a lot. As we've ran better in the four car, I'm thinking, man, it really did get better, you know.
We're going to go to Justin, Jerry, and then Tom.
Justin Schuler, Speedway Media. First off, congratulations once again. We're starting to see silly season unfold in the Cup Series, and a couple of those drivers are looking for that next big shot to run in that top equipment. The one name that comes to mind for me is Matt DiBenedetto. First question, what has your experience been like getting into a car and with a team that can constantly run up front and put a car up front? And then secondly, what would be your piece of advice for someone else that may be given that next shot to go from, a start and park team to then be in a car and a team running up front?
Well, I'm not going to tell them my secrets. I mean, but, I forgot your first question, honestly. Yeah, I mean, all I can do is go out and do my job, and that was my whole thing when they first called me about this and back with Johnny was just, okay, if you think, they all told me they believed in me, but after our first meeting in each situation, I've always stood up, shook their hand, and said, I'm going to do my job the best I can, but you have to realize I don't know everything, don't ever assume that, so... I know I asked way too many questions on the radio. Josh Wise works at CGR. He, on the backside, quietly gives me more information than I could ever use. But that's great. We were sitting down this morning before we got on track today just talking about restarts. I mean, that's crazy now to think about that, but we were talking about that. So just do your job. That's all I try to do, and I'm no spokesperson for anybody. These guys that race at this level, we're here for a reason, but it takes a lot of luck, and life's not fair, and I know that. And so if it's not fair, and if I'd have lost this race today, I still would be – obviously I would be sitting here happy, but I would be – still know that, like, I did everything right. I did my job, even if something went wrong.
Go to Jerry, Tom, and then Holly.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires, .net, and PRN. I got a couple. At what point – at the end of the race, maybe last lap, wherever, where did you realize you had it won? What was that feeling like? What was going through your head?
With two to go, I had a big old tear come down out of my right eye, and I was like, oh, don't cry. Dang it. And my nose started burning, and I was like, and that streamed the whole two laps, and when I crossed the finish line, I didn't key up. I just put my head down, and tears were gone then, and I just started punching the wheel and just going crazy, and they were all congratulating on the radio, and I just wanted to listen and hear it, and then to have part of the field come up and just give me little taps, a lot of thumbs up and stuff, was cool. And a lot of those guys I've been in confrontations with, so that was kind of, it's crazy, but I think they genuinely are happy for me, just like I've been happy. Last night I tried to catch up to Grant at when he won, but he got back around here too fast. So, it's a big old tear, two to go, but then it was gone, and I was happy. I didn't ugly cry out there on the front stretch.
Where's the party, and what's it going to be like?
Oh, man, I'm running the Cup race tomorrow, so I am trying to rehydrate because I was sweated a lot today, and that car is hot. That's fine. It's fast, so it doesn't matter. I don't care how hot it is. But, I guess we'll celebrate. I'm not a big go-out party guy, but I'll get a group together probably after the season back home. That'll be the next time I get back to Florida. So get a group together then at the farm probably, and celebrate with my guys on both sides. We took some cool pictures with the 4 and the 42 out there, so try to get them guys together because the 4 car is what got me here. The 4 car is the whole reason Johnny Davis and Gary Keller is what got me this opportunity. So they are as much a part of this win as the CGR guys. So we'll get together, you know, but I'm not a – I tell you, I'm not going to party like it's the 90s. Yeah, no, no. No, thank you.
We're going to go to Tom, Holly, and Dominic.
Tom Zaleski, Erin County Today. Obvious question there, Ross. What's up with the watermelon?
Man, I'm an eighth-generation farmer. You didn't know that?
I did not know
that. All right. Well, let me tell you. Everybody else here has heard it, but somebody hasn't. So, yeah, man, my family's from South Georgia, and then three generations ago they went to South Florida for an earlier crop. Grew every vegetable known to man down there besides tomatoes and landed on – basically made money and landed on watermelons and did it right and everything worked. And now we grow and sell watermelons all across the eastern seaboard. So, you know, that was a big part of what got me going in racing was, I mean, there's no hiding it, was, you know, my family believing in me and supporting me to get in these race cars. But that all stopped, you know, I guess after 2013. So ever since then, we've carried on the watermelon stuff. Team owners have helped me put it on. We've got people in the industry that see us doing good. With different companies that are a part of growing watermelons, but don't sell to the end consumer. So, you know, Helena Chemical is one. And, you know, then we do promotions up in Delaware and New York right now with Protect Your Melon and Use Your Melon. So that is a buckle up, wear your seatbelt campaign and a drive sober campaign in the fall. So we're trying to build that program. That's really what drives the four car. That is what funds it a lot. And we're looking to add more states. My goal is one day to have a full-year agriculture car, and it's looking more and more like that could be in the highway safety side. So that's really cool to bring those guys, you know, into victory lane. I always said no matter what, I didn't care if I was 90 years old and I finally won some prestigious race, I was bringing watermelons with me, no matter if we, you know, whatever was going on.
And I'm trusting then watermelons are a standard menu item at the team hauler.
What's that?
Watermelons are a standard item at the team hauler that you eat every day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every team hauler has to have them. Most of the time, it's me bringing them. I'll, you know, if we're out here, we don't ship out here, but I can stop at the store and we can get some. So this, my family had these. I had them in Darlington. I brought a whole bin there, and we all know what happened. And I had to give away 25 watermelons Monday morning, like, to whoever was left in the campgrounds, and because we didn't get to use them. So I was a little gun shy to bring to get them, you know, get a bunch out here. But they, my dad, when I passed him on pit road, he said, "We got watermelons in victory lane, so use it." So I didn't smash it in victory lane because they had like a false floor deal, and it would have been disgusting. So we're gonna go out there, and it's, I don't care what they say, it's going on the front stretch.
We'll go to Holly, Dominic, and Bob.
Hey, Ross. Holly Kane again. I wanted to ask you, I realize, obviously, this being your first win, that's the overwhelming emotion, but could you talk about the playoffs and the timing of getting this win just as the playoffs are going to start?
Yeah, it's crazy. So I guess we'll be, you know, we knew points-wise we might make it. And going into this year, I thought 13th was our spot in the four car, not knowing this would happen. And obviously the unfortunate stuff happened. It moved us up to 12th. And then recently we moved to 11th, you know. So that was really cool, straight up in the four car to do that. So, yeah, I mean, it's another race. You know, if we can – I mean, we got Richmond and Charlotte. So that'll be a crazy race if we can – you know, I don't even know what the track layout is, you know, but I don't think any of the Xfinity guys do. We haven't been allowed to test, and we haven't been allowed to do anything. So – it's gonna be crazy. So we got Richmond there in Dover. We run really well at Dover in the four car, and we have a big Protect Your Melon, or this will be a Use Your Melon campaign up there for driving sober. So we put a lot of effort into the four car for Dover. So you know, it is cool. I mean, obviously, you know, these guys, they've worked together with their groups all year. They're clicking. So we'll, you know, we'll be in the 42 one more time, and then back in the four to finish out the year. And I mean, I guess it depends on next weekend. I guess we have a couple more playoff points now. Should help give us a little buffer over some guys. I guess we need to be eighth after Dover, right? Is that right? Eighth? Yeah. Anybody know? Eighth. Yeah. Okay. So that'd be the goal. I mean, but still, that's hard to do. I mean, we have outpunched our weight class by a long shot with the four car, but we want to keep doing it, and we have some good race cars, and hopefully this generates some sponsorship. I mean, that was the other part is now the attention that we'll get when I'm back in the four car is going to be, you know, raised up. So we're using that. We're trying to use that to our advantage so we can put more money into the race cars. That's all Johnny does. If he gets another dollar, there's a million ways you can spend money on race cars, and that makes them go faster. So that's what we're going to do if we can raise the money.
All right, we're going to go to Dominic in the back, Bob, and then Kathy.
Dominic got it going with the racing experts. Ross, first off, just would like to ask you if has it sunk in yet that you're now a NASCAR Xfinity Series winner?
Man, it actually, when I first did my burnout, I ended up in the grass because I pointed it the wrong way. And then when I got back up on this, I was all lost. And then I got to doing some burnouts, and I looked up at the stands. I was like, this is real. This is real. That's really the biggest burnout, and I didn't even do a great one, I don't think. But because growing up, I did a couple, but they were small, just a couple circles, because you're racing the late model or the fast truck the next week. So you weren't doing big smoky burnouts. So I got some work to do there, but then I went over and just did some circles in the DC Solar logo. All that whole time, I was like, wow, this is real. This is real. And then Victory Lane's a blur. So many people coming in high-fiving and congratulating. It's all a blur, but that part will sink in. But as soon as I did the second set of burnouts, it was real.
And yeah, second off here, too, when you look back on this victory, however long from now, what's going to stick out most to you?
Man, the final adjustment we made, I was just lacking grip before that. We were bound up trying to run the bottom. The 21 was on us. The 7 got by us for a while. We got back by him. And I didn't really have a good explanation for it to tell Mike Shiplett, my crew chief, but could just tell him I just need more grip and we need to fire off better. So y'all could probably see it. That after we put that last set of tires on the restarts, no matter where we were at compared to those other guys getting down the backstretch, when I got turn 3, I could almost run flat, and they were having to lift, and that was that's the biggest. I mean, that's the things I take away is the mechanics of the car, and knowing how good of an adjustment that was, because that's what it took to win. Because Justin is so good on restarts, the 7 car, he has it going on, and I don't know if he got me one time or almost did, and then we were beaten. I ran into his door down the back, and I'm like, oh, don't do that. Like, I'm gonna take myself out. So, that's what I think about was to. Just the adjust what, and I got to find out what they did because it was insane.
I'm going to go to Bob, Kathy, and Davey.
Bob Parker, ESPN. If you hadn't won, we'd all be coming up to you asking you about the end of the first stage and letting Priest get his lap back. Were you surprised about the reaction of your team? And, you know, what I assume because you and Priest have been teammates at JD Motorsports, you felt like, oh my God, if I can help him, it's courtesy.
Yeah, I mean, he was already a couple laps down. He was torn up. I've been in the other side of that and wish they'd just give that little bit. I know Mike wasn't happy, and I didn't do it again like the rest of the race. I ran as hard as I could to prove a point to him that I listened to him. If I could go back, I wouldn't change it. I would do it again. It did let the second place car close up to us for pit road, but our guys were so fast. It didn't matter, but it didn't matter if it was Priest or whoever. There was two cars I let by, and it was one of the seed cars, and those are the guys that I have raced with for years, and I just wanted to be nice every now and then. Like, it's not gonna kill you. Like, just give a little bit. So it helped that it was Priest, but yeah, they weren't happy though. No, that's what he said. We're here to win. And when he got the free pass later, I was like, uh-oh. I didn't know if he was fast or what. I was like, oh, boy. If he comes back and beats me, I am never going to live that down. So, no, it all worked out, though. I'm just trying to be nice.
All right, go to Kathy, Davey, and then Lee.
Kathy Brown, pitting outside the box. Quick question for you. Is there anything that you want to say to your naysayers that have questioned your ability by being in that car right now, or do you think the win is saying enough to any of your naysayers?
There's negative people in the world. I don't need to compliment them by even acknowledging them. You guys have, those that know me in here or that have, the last two, with Darlington in here sitting up on the stage, I try to be positive, and that's how I really think about things, is just on the positive side. To myself, I'm a bit of a glass half empty where I feel like I'm always doing the wrong stuff and I always make mistakes, but for everybody else, I feel like just be happy, like be happy we're all here, you know. I don't need to say anything to them. They can think what they want, and I just really hope that they're happy with their life. They find something that makes them happy.
We'll go to Davey and then Lee.
Davey Siegel, frontstretch.com. Ross, congratulations. Garrett Smithley also said that he thinks one of the main reasons that you're able to have a lot of success in top-tier equipment and as well as Ryan Preece is because of your guys' experience racing with JD, and he said that the cars back there in the back of the pack don't handle as well, so you have to drive them way, way harder, which makes it easier, so to speak, to drive the better handling cars up front. Did you kind of see that come to fruition in the last couple races?
I still had to drive my butt off. My right arm is sore. Down the straightaway, I had to keep, like, stretching my hand out because I was gripping the wheels. Like, it was so free one of those runs I was running. Well, it was one of those late runs. I was so loose. I was like, man, like, if I fence this thing and give this race away or just give up two. I knew if I went to third, it was going to be really tough. When I went to second, I was like, it's fine. But then Cole was right on my bumper for 10 laps or something. I was like, man. So that was all I had to keep up with Justin and keep Cole behind me. And then our good race car took over and theirs abused their tires. And we were to go back by them and pull away. So I don't feel like they handle that much different. I differ with Garrett there. They're faster, but you're driving them hard to make them go fast, and you have to drive them hard, just like you have to drive any car. That's the one thing about this package with NASCAR. Like, the harder you drive them, the better you go. So if you can bump up your minimum corner speed by a mile per hour, think about it, you have more downforce, you have more side force. So if you can just somehow get through the center of the corner a mile per hour faster, it's going to handle better. Now, if you're mechanically you can't do it, then you can't do it, and the aero won't overcome that. But, the experience paid off with the restarts, picking the lanes. Granted, I haven't been restarting up front in Xfinity Series stuff, but, I've restarted here for 4 years now, you know, granted from 10th to 20th, but still, it's laps. And we put ourselves in situations. I mean, I've taken the lead on a restart in the four car before, past Darrell. So I still bring it up to him because the four car passed the six car for the lead at Charlotte in 2016. And I don't forget that. And he doesn't either because I always bring it up. It's the experience pays off. I wouldn't have won this race if I wouldn't have driven for 3 years and, you know, now 4 years in the four car.
We'll go back to Lee.
To kind of follow up on that, you said when I showed up in the four, I was so bad it took me 3 years to figure it out. What did you figure out? And, I mean, what did it take? I mean, can you kind of say what you learned over those 3 years that took you from being a back marker to victory lane in addition to having good equipment?
Right. Yeah, and I guess it was 2 years in the four, and going into 2017 is where I felt like I understood the cars better. And it's just I'm not a mechanic as far as working on these cars Monday through Thursday and coming to the track. And nobody is. No driver is. You just can't do that anymore. So you have to be on the business side to make all this happen. But with that, you're around the guys enough. I understood what changes would work, what changes didn't work. You know, we made a lot of wrong adjustments over the years. And everybody does that. So that's more what it is. And then I got back with my original crew chief in 2017, and we hit it off, and we've been strong ever since. So it's that's more – it's just like the stuff you don't even think about that comes natural then. Even just like being comfortable driving in and out of the garage, like knowing where to go. And then NASCAR changes up the layouts every now and then, and I'm like lost. Like I don't – no, I know where to go, and there's a fence, and I'm like, oh, man. So it's that and then just like being able to like hold the wheel softer and not – be so aggressive. And that's something that CGR's worked with me on, is just slow down my hand speed and not rush the throttle and stuff that I'm still working on, you know, that they can see. And really they pull up my cup throttle traces and all my driving inputs from all the data you can get off the cup car and ask me how close that is to the Xfinity car. And actually it's been pretty close the way I've been driving them. So they are using that to help see what I'm doing in the Xfinity car, even though it's totally different and all that. But I am using some of the same inputs. So we can kind of fine tune some stuff there, and they can tell me what I'm doing wrong, and I've been doing a lot of stuff wrong. So I have a lot of bad habits that I've tried to break in the last month, and Josh Wise has been a big reason why you know I've been able to break some of those bad habits.
Go in the back and then to Chris.
Spencer Hill, ESPN Radio, Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I just want to know, with working with this group of guys, what's the most valuable lesson that you've learned so far?
Don't let somebody buy at the end of a stage. Man. So it all backs up to you walk in CGR and you see the infrastructure they have and you see the shop and you see so many, over 200 employees and just they're all doing their job. Like, they're all a part of the puzzle that it takes to make that car go that fast. And even when I would get beat on restarts, like, I could go right back by the guys after a couple laps because the car was that good. Even when I didn't do my job, I could, roll the top one or two, get a big run. So that's the biggest thing is just, like, haven't like put in the work, and for this 42 car, it started when I guess them and Harry Scott, merged and they got the Xfinity program rolling. And, even Kyle couldn't win in it for a while, and then he started winning and Justin won at Mid Ohio and in the rain where he's another animal. I mean, it's insane. So, I guess are we the three winners for the car then? I guess Kyle, Justin, and me. Oh. But so that's just the infrastructure they have in place, for years of building these race cars and getting hand-me-down stuff from the Cup side. It is a business, and it's just the work ethic that went in for years, and that you can apply that to anything in life, any business, any job you're going to try to take, and try to put in the work.
We're going to wrap up with Chris.
Chris Mack at Trends.com. Congratulations on the win. Just wondering if that was Chip Ganassi on the phone that you talked to in Victory Lane.
It was.
And what did he say? He tweeted right after the race. I like winners.
Yeah. It was insane. So we texted a little bit. They sent me his number, Darlington, on Sunday morning, and told me to text him, make it nice and short, thank him for the opportunity, and that'll be good. He sent back like three paragraphs, and he was pumped. And we text for like an hour, and then finally I was like, hey, all right, I gotta go into the garage. I'll talk to you later. And it was like, man, like he was actually invested in me on a Sunday morning. And so he apologized for not being here to enjoy the moment. But he said he was just proud. He was proud of the work that went into it, and that we were able to get the results that he felt like they had deserved to win races, because that's what he likes. They were yelling at me to get off the phone, but I didn't care. Like, I would have talked to him for an hour if we could have. So, haven't met him yet, so hopefully I get to meet him soon. They got so many, such a deep staff there. He didn't need to meet me, but hopefully now we can meet. I don't know. I do. I mean, I thought we could win at Darlington. I thought we could win here. I will say that the first time I saw Kyle after we knew it was going to happen, he said, what are your races? And I told him. He said, oh, Richmond. And I'll leave out one word, but he said, good luck. So I guess he hasn't had a ton of luck there, with this car. So, we'll see. I like the track. I struggled there in the spring. I burned off my front tire. So that's the bad habits I was talking about, Lee, where it was like just that Josh has worked with me on and everybody at CGR, just let the car do the work, quit trying to drive so hard. So that's, obviously we all think we can or we wouldn't be doing this.
I'm going to get one more in from Jim.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. You and Ryan Preece have talked a lot about betting on yourselves, taking chances, and then have now both capitalized on them. As someone who's been in the Xfinity Series for the last several years, if you had to pick, who do you think would be the next you? Who is someone that you've raced against who, given the chance, might be able to make the most out of it?
I don't know. I'll tweet it to you later when I can look at everything. I don't know. I'd have to. I mean, I'm not the guy to answer that, because I don't feel like I'm deserving of being up here. I don't feel like I I deserved this opportunity when they called me. And I asked them, I was, are you sure you want me to do this? And they're like, yes. And then once I said that, then Jeff called me, because I didn't say, I said that to some other people that were in the marketing group that put this all together. And so they told Jeff Karpoff, and he called me. He's like, hey, quit acting like you don't deserve this. Like, you are going to go do this. You're going to go win. We're going to win. So just know that's what's going to happen. And so I don't know who would be next. Life's not fair. I don't know.
Well, Ross, congratulations and good luck in the playoffs.
All right. Thank y'all. Really means a lot to be here.